This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Many of our COVID-19 hospitals are nearing collapse. So tonight, we're looking at the issue of overcapacity and what we need to do.
First, we understand how this is playing out on the ground level, and then we'll find out how private hospitals can help. And finally, where else can we mobilize our resources?
So, is this something you're worried about? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is just coming up to 6:08, and let's just start with this. Today's cases, COVID-19 cases, were 8,868. This is the second highest number of daily cases that we've had since we hit 9,020 cases back on the 29th of May. Selangor alone has hit a record high today of 4,152 cases, all of which to say, I don't think anyone is really surprised to hear that our hospitals are essentially hitting their limit, right? Yesterday, the Health Director General, Tan Sri Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah, said that hospitals in Kuala Lumpur, Selangor, Negeri Sembilan and Labuan have surpassed their limits when it comes to treating COVID-19 patients.
I think it's also important to say that when we say today's cases, we are saying today's cases after a month now of being in FMCO, which was explicitly meant to prevent this, which was explicitly meant to try to ensure that our healthcare capacity, our healthcare system remained functioning, right? And so I think when we look at the cases and when we look at what the DG is saying, that's important context for what we're discussing. Now, I think as we're seeing with the cases, the DG also said that the new daily cases are showing no signs of reduction. And if this continues, the health system will be paralyzed in these states, again, Kuala Lumpur, Selangor, Negeri Sembilan and Labuan, and then other states may follow suit. And we're also seeing something that has always been a source of concern, which is a high trend of COVID-19 cases actually being admitted to the ICU and the occupancy rate there exceeding 90%. Equally serious, healthcare workers are suffering from burnout because they've been caring for patients for these extended periods and with no real break. And I think talking about this in generalities is bad enough, but there is actually a report from one particular hospital that I think really highlights exactly how dire the situation is.
Yes, so the Tengku Ampuan Rahimah Hospital in Klang essentially has been highlighting how at least 10 patients have been placed on temporary canvas beds on the porch of their emergency department. These are patients that are going to be moved to low-risk treatment and quarantine centres at MAPES. And a few days ago, more than 150 COVID-19 patients were waiting for beds at that same emergency department. And they faced a spike in category 3 to 5 COVID-19 patients. So several sources from that hospital told Malaysia Kini that Klang Valley emergency departments are in critical condition. And again, all of that goes back to exactly what we've been talking about, COVID-19 wards being at full capacity, which means that the emergency departments are now being used to provide treatment instead. Life-saving procedures having to be conducted on the floor because there are not enough beds, makeshift intravenous drip stands having to be created out of drip bottles and wooden sticks. I mean, it's terrifying to hear about. It's terrifying to imagine people going through this.
This is happening in Klang. This is not something, because when we talk about healthcare capacity and healthcare equity, I think there is always an assumption that urban centres, places that are more densely populated, will have better access to healthcare. And of course, to hear that something like this is occurring in one of, I don't know, you know, it's just a very difficult thing to wrap your head around. And the DG has said that there are plans from the ministry to address this. Some hospitals are being converted to fully accommodate COVID-19 patients, including Hospital Ampang, Sungai Buloh, the Children's Specialist Hospital of UKM. They are also increasing bed capacity in HKL in Selayang Hospital. and Tengku Ampuan Rahimah Klang Hospital that we just heard about. And they're all being used as treatment centres for Category 4 and 5 patients. Bed capacity in quarantine treatment centres to treat lower risk patients also going to be increased. And if you're wondering what happens to patients who don't have COVID-19, they will be outsourced to private hospitals.
And that note about private hospitals is really one of the key areas in which they're looking at to be able to manage this issue of overcapacity. So the Ministry of Health is currently working with 112 private hospitals in Klang Valley with the view of increasing COVID-19 beds. There's also plans to mobilize more healthcare workers from states that have eased their lockdown restrictions and to move them to high-risk states. And as with most of these things, the ministry talked about vaccination efforts being increased. But that said, I think with these numbers progressively climbing every day, I don't think it's overstating facts at all that this is a very worrying situation. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. What it is like on the ground and what needs to be done to address this and to manage this as we move forward. And we'd like to hear from you. Is this something that has you worried? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Dato' Dr. Christopher Lee, infectious disease physician, to give us a view of how all of this is playing out on the ground. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:15. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila Enlin. And today we're looking at the issue of overcapacity in our hospitals and how this fits into our COVID-19 efforts. And we'd like to hear from you. How are you feeling about this news that so many of our hospitals are stretched? Are you worried? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're now joined by infectious diseases physician, Dato' Dr. Christopher Lee. Dr. Chris, always good to have you with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So to start off, what are your observations of the situation on the ground in terms of the capacity of hospitals in treating COVID patients?
Well, I think all of us would have seen pictures from the hospitals and what's going out on social media. And of course, the Ministry of Health today also finally sent out something in terms of remedial action, what they want to do. The situation is clearly very bad. I think we look at the numbers speak for itself. What is worrying is the large number of patients who are very ill in hospital and very ill in our ICUs. The sad thing is, I think we can expect more deaths in the days ahead for a while until the numbers come down. But at the moment, the crisis has come to a point that we all know there's just not enough ICU beds, or the turnover of ICU beds is too slow. That's why now we are beginning to hear of stories of patients who are ill, who are ventilated in the emergency departments of hospitals, which is not ideal. But because there's no other place, they have to ventilate it there for the time being. And unfortunately, even in big hospitals like Sungai Buloh and HKL, sometimes they're ventilated there for days before they can be finally transferred to a proper intensive care bed upstairs. Of course, when you are ventilating or looking after very ill cases in such settings, such repurposed settings, the care will be affected. We cannot expect the best or the most optimal care. So it's a major concern.
And could you explain what has led to this issue of overcapacity?
No, I guess, I think clearly, of course, it's the huge surge that we have. I think all of us were surprised. I guess not surprised, but we were shocked at how badly hit we were. For the numbers to hit, who go up so fast, it tells you that transmission has been happening in areas that we were not aware of or we were not focused on. Clearly, there were some settings in the communities, but at the moment now, with the lockdowns that's happening, it's clear that our work settings are still not safe enough. Is it better than before top glove last year? Well, I hope so. But clearly, even if there whatever improvements we had since top glove, I'm just using top glove as an example because that was a big one that hit us last year. Clearly, it's still not enough. And we're hearing work clusters everywhere. We all understand why the work places are still open for the essential services for obvious reasons, for economic reasons. And many people understand that. But unfortunately, we haven't made these workplaces safe enough for our people to go in. And when they go in, they get infected, they will spread back to the families. So even in Sungai Buloh, we have seen many patients who are workers, and now their families are very ill with COVID, which of course is very sad. Just to add on to this, clearly, but all is not lost. I mean, I'm sure today, despite the mostly not so good news coming through, we did hear that in the last 3 days we vaccinated 1 million people, and I think that's encouraging. That's good. I think kudos to the committee that looks into it, and YBKJ, I mean, and his team. The focus now, I think, we can use vaccination as a tool to address the hotspots and the massive demand for beds in the Klang Valley. If we focus most of the vaccination in the hotspots, especially for the most vulnerable, the elderly and those with comorbidities, in the next few weeks. Because vaccinating an older man today protects him for severe COVID in the weeks ahead, and that saves life. So now I think besides giving vaccines to prevent transmission, I think clear that there is a need now in hotspots like Selangor and KL, there's a need to vaccinate the risk groups to prevent them from dying and being very sick.
Dr. Chris, you mentioned a little bit earlier about how this overcapacity is impacting the hospital's ability to provide care for the patients. Could you expand on that, particularly when we're talking about the emergency department?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, some hospitals, I think, in Sungai Buloh has been the COVID hospital for a long time now, and Ampang has just been made a COVID hospital. So COVID hospitals look after nothing but COVID. That's the main focus. However, if there was an accident just outside the front door, I mean, obviously, the patients will come in first, especially if it's very ill. So our capacity to focus on this type of emergencies will be affected to some degree. Luckily, the other hospitals in our area, in the Klang Valley, has taken over the brunt of those type of non-COVID cases. But something's got to give. When all the resources are stretched, when human resources are stretched, something's got to give. The quality of care will drop. And it's not belittling anyone at all. I mean, all of us, you and I, have a certain capacity. There's a point in time when we can't do beyond what we can do. And that is something that we are concerned about. Number one is the how ideal are the ICU beds that we are creating now. It's repurposed areas. For example, you know, let's say this is a burns ward. We converted it into a COVID ICU. Let's say it's another ward that's meant for some other reason. We repurpose it for something else. So the infrastructure may be slightly not so good, even though I must acknowledge that the Ministry of Health has tried to improve the infrastructure in these places. But the other major factor, without question, is human resource. I mean, you do need specialized nurses and doctors to manage ICU. And with the surge numbers now, reality is we are depending on people who may be less experienced to look after very sick people in ICU. That is a fact. That is a fact. All right. More and more of us, that even in the past, maybe we do go to ICU once in a while. For example, I'm an ID physician. I do spend some time in ICU. But, well, many of us now spend a lot more time in ICUs because we are needed to be in ICU more, because there are a lot more ICU beds everywhere. So that quality is a factor, no question. So and it will affect even beyond non-COVID. So, and that's what we are fearful of. And I think DJ has mentioned that before as well. We are fearful when to maintain the health system. If today somebody has another health crisis, not COVID, something else, a massive stroke or, God forbid, a myocardial infarction, is the health system able to look after them the way we used to before COVID? And I think the answer is, in the Klang Valley, the answer is yes, it's probably affecting that as well.
And many of our medical frontliners, while doing their best, have really been burnt out for a long time. This has all been going on for a long time. And healthcare workers from states with less critical COVID conditions will be brought into higher risk states. I think you covered some of that. Is this going to be enough to address the staff shortage?
Well, depends how many people we can bring them in. Well, fortunately, looking at the, we're really learning how to look at the right side of things because it's been pretty bad news of late. But there are some states that are not so badly affected. They have moved down to a lighter phase, isn't it, in their MCOs. So certain states, they are not as bad now compared to Selangor, KL and Negeri Sembilan. So yes, that would help. No question. Human resource will help, especially when you bring in the right type of people with the right type of training. Oh, they'll be very welcome now. The other option we have is the Klang Valley and Seremban, for that matter as well. We have a lot of private hospitals, a lot of private colleagues in the GP section or whatever. I think this is an area that we haven't kept enough, and that's something we need to consider seriously. I know Ministry of Health has talked about it, had some meetings with them, but has there been enough concrete movement in this area? My answer is no. We have not seen enough of it. And maybe this is something we can learn from this pandemic. I think when we want to get things done, we really got to get things done. You know, having just a few meetings and finally nothing really works on the ground, it's not going to be that helpful. So I think here, besides moving people from the low prevalent states or whatever, is to try to bring in the private sector more into the picture. I know in the private sector, there are some who are willing to do a bit more, some even a lot more, but there are some maybe not so much. But now in a crisis like this, it's really Karanamu Malaysia, really, that I think all of us have to chip in. We have no option. It's not doing it for somebody, it's doing it for ourselves. I mean, it is really that bad. And especially, I hope we remember those who are the less empowered, those B40s. I think all of us know, besides economics aside, I think health-wise, they are certainly also much more badly affected than those in the higher economic groups.
So that partnership between the government and the private hospitals, on what scale does this need to happen to actually help with this issue?
Well, at the moment, if you're looking at, let's say, HKL and Klang and Sungai Buloh, for some matter, Ampang Hospital is, because it's new, it just became a COVID hospital a week ago or something. So they will have a lot more teething problems. And I'm sure you've seen pictures of what's happening in Hospital Klang and HKL. We have started, after months of discussion, we have just started to move some non-COVID patients from HKL and Klang to the private hospitals in their area. I don't know the actual numbers, but we have seen some movement now. But the numbers are in the scores. Now, talking about 20, 30, 40 maybe. Does it help? Well, 20, 30, 40 is okay, better than zero. But really to change the numbers that we're talking about, we're talking of hundreds, then we really need to push that number much higher to be effective. I think really if to be impactful now at this point in time, we are talking about, I would think, at least 100, 200 such beds in the Klang Valley. But looking at it, it's doable because in the Klang Valley, we have a lot of private hospitals, so we can. But this is, they are willing to take the non-COVID. I'm hoping that some of them are also willing to take the post-COVID patients, patients who have survived COVID, but they are still frail and ill and they still can't go home yet because they're still sick. They're still trying to recover from the ill effects of COVID. So they also need a lot of care. And sometimes they take weeks and sometimes even 1 or 2 months to recover enough to get home, to be off the oxygen. So maybe some of these post-COVID cases could also be passed to our private colleagues. After all, the government has put aside money to address that. So if that money is already been put aside, I think, well, get it done, you know. And I think that we need to be more urgent in this matter, because every time we delay getting an effective bed for a very sick patient, it means lives.
The health minister has also said that a unified command centre was set up to ensure that intensive care needs are met in the Klang Valley. Can you talk to us about why this is needed and how we can ensure that coordination happens swiftly and effectively?
They have this unified centre for a while now, where all the ICUs are sort of linked by one, run by, moderated by a few senior people who are basically intensivists. And what they do is to try to move for example, in Sungai Buloh, because Sungai Buloh has the longest experience with COVID from day one until now. So they have been taking a lot of category four and five, so especially fives. So they've been taking very ill patients because we have a large infectious disease unit team there, plus the intensive care, blah, blah, blah. You know, the works, the infrastructure that's been invested in Sungai Buloh over the last 18 months. So in the past, they say, okay, maybe the very ill ones will go to Sungai Buloh. The ones who are category four who are not that ill, maybe they go to Hospital Ampang or something like that. So they stratify that. And according to their ability, if let's say someone requires a lot of dialysis or something like that, they try to move patients around to match the needs of the patient with the services or the strength of the hospitals, and also move people around, you know, who can be transferred out, you know, so that Sungai Buloh is just not looking after the for ill cases in Sungai Buloh. Sungai Buloh is also looking after the ill cases in other hospitals, because not every hospital is every ICU bed is filled at the same time. So if we are full in HKL today, maybe Sungai Buloh has a few empty beds. So HKL patients there who are ill can be sent to Sungai Buloh, something like that, right? That kind of concept. So when we spread it bigger, we have when the resource pool is bigger, we are more flexible to adjust to the needs of the patients. So it's certainly a good thing to do. Of course, some people may argue that it's not working very well. Well, I think nothing is perfect, but can we make it better? If we can, why not? And I think they should. I think in any program, whatever we put out, I think we must assume that it may not work well. And therefore, our review system should look at it. And if it shows that it's not working out, to improve. And I think that's something, as a learning point, we need to have learned in this pandemic. I think we have some policies that make sense and it should work. But if it hasn't worked, then we need to ask ourselves, hey, why? And then fix it. And it's okay. I mean, it won't be perfect from day one. So, yeah, there's a lot of learning lessons for us.
Dr. Chris, thank you for speaking with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
That was infectious diseases physician, Dato' Dr. Christopher Lee, speaking to us about our COVID-19 hospitals, which are nearing collapse. Is this something you're worried about? Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we are looking at, in short, our hospitals really on the brink of collapse because of our COVID-19 intake. So earlier we heard about what it's like on the ground, and now we're going to be looking at one specific aspect of a solution, which is more collaboration with the private healthcare sector. But we have been asking you about your thoughts. Are you worried about the situation? Keep those thoughts coming. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have these messages.
So Darth Vade says they need to increase the vaccination centres and targeted numbers per day in areas where the infection is high. Being in Klang, we're very worried. Even all the EMCO measures, this number is not reducing. And I think, this message really gets at the heart of the question about what works and what doesn't, or rather the fact that MCOs have been a repeated solution. They are trotted out time and time again when the numbers get beyond control, when we're worried about spikes and waves and what have you. And so I think because of that, in some ways, we're almost conditioned to think this is the solution, right? MCOs or vaccinations, that's what it is. And either one of those things should bring the numbers down. With vaccinations, our rates are still relatively slow. So we go with MCOs, which we have in the past seen work. And then I think when we don't see those numbers reducing, that's when the anxiety just ramps up all the more. And I really think this message captures that.
So Tan says, yes, we are very worried. I think we should also support the frontliners with providing food baskets so that they don't have to worry about their family's needs as much. Tan, you know, I think you bring up an excellent point. We're constantly thinking about, or rather we're constantly reminded of how much work these frontliners are having to put up with because of this. And whether it's food basket, whether it's other forms of support, I 100% agree that there needs to be more done for them. Keep those thoughts coming. With our hospitals being stretched to their capacity, are you worried? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now to hear about what the private healthcare sector can do, we're now crossing over to Datuk Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals of Malaysia. Dr. Kuljit, thank you for being with us today.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Currently, how involved are private hospitals in managing the country's pandemic situation?
Okay, COVID-19 management in private hospital has been pretty extensive, particularly this year. From January onwards, we started treating COVID-19 in our hospitals, which we were not allowed to do it last year because last year was quite all right. The ministry was able to manage it. So we have extended our capacity in private hospitals to treat COVID-19. And as we have expanded as much as we can, we are all full and overwhelmed with the numbers. And private hospitals, comparatively speaking to government hospitals, we are actually small. Small in terms of space and also manpower. We do not have house officers, medical officers, or enough of specialists that can manage COVID, especially in Category 4 and Category 5. So with that, even having said this, we have extended beyond what we are supposed to do, both in terms of capacity and also what the law allows private hospitals to treat intensive care. Besides that, we are participating in the mega vaccine centers because the government required our help. A lot of our staff are involved in the mega vaccine centers. We have our own vaccine centers vaccinating patients using the MySujatra application. And we have 24 hours COVID testing facilities in all our private hospitals. So if you look at the extent that we are going through, it is really beyond what we can actually manage at this point of time.
And we're talking, of course, because of this current issue of overcapacity. And with that, the ministry is working towards roping in more private hospitals. Can you tell us anything about those discussions?
Okay, we had a discussion with the Ministry of Health, despite of being understaffed at this point of time, to send more staff from the private hospitals to public hospitals to ease up some of the manpower issues that they're having because of this pandemic. And private hospitals have even agreed to do that, but we are only able to send a small number of nurses from the private hospitals to the public hospitals in order to help them treat these patients who are requiring this treatment in a public setting.
What are you hearing from those in private health, in the private healthcare sector, about this potential collaboration, or rather, I suppose, increasing the scale of the collaboration? How are people feeling about it?
The thing is, we have, as we speak now, sometimes almost daily or even every couple of hours, we get calls from patients who are already admitted in a public hospital, and they're asking whether they can be transferred to the private hospitals. They're willing to pay, but we don't have space for them. And the public is happy that, you know, we have given this opportunity for patients to be treated in private, but we just do not have the capacity. I just gave a few phone calls to major private hospitals in Klang Valley. They are all full. We do not have space at all. We are doing our best, and people are happy that we private hospitals have taken this additional effort to help, especially in vaccination, because we're just doing it for free for the government. We get a small nominal fee, which we are okay with it. So we really want to help the government in whichever way that they will require.
Now, earlier, our earlier guest, Dr. Christopher Lee, suggested that perhaps private hospitals could take in post-COVID cases where patients who have survived the virus are perhaps still too frail to go home, still on the road to recovery. What are your thoughts on this?
We have been in discussion on this. But again, we are back again to the issue of capacity, because some of these post-COVID patients require oxygen treatment. They might also need some sort of step-down ICU treatment. So we are looking at that area, how we can accommodate them, because at the same time, we are also managing acute COVID cases. So we are in discussion and seeing how we can manage. And the issue with these post-COVID patients is they can require a very long-term treatment and management, which can go anything between weeks or probably even months. So we are in discussion. Not all the private hospitals will be able to cater for this category of patients, but definitely we are trying to work out something to help the government to look after these patients.
Dr. Koljit, you've mentioned several times that you are open to seeing what else can be done. Now, if private hospitals were to get involved on a much larger scale, what would the coordination between the private and public hospitals look like when it comes to handling COVID-19 cases?
So if the government can identify public hospitals whereby they can open up space with adequate infrastructure, we are willing to give some of our excess equipment, medication, even oxygen tanks if they require, and as much as what other infrastructure they need immediately to help, because you must remember some of the products may not be procured on the spot. It takes time to get these products. We are happy to help them on that level. As far as manpower is concerned, one other way is we may have to deploy manpower from other states, and I think they will also be doing that. But I think almost everywhere they in the government sector, they have already deployed. We can probably work on that to find a way to give them that kind of a support. But as I said, in Klang Valley, we are at an extreme level of difficulty right now, both in terms of space and also manpower in the private sector.
And how does all this impact the treatment of non-COVID-19 cases at private hospitals that are involved?
So when you come to the non-COVID patients, it is beginning to become difficult. When you don't have enough nurses, you don't have enough of space. So we try our best to cater as many non-COVID as we can, because we also know most of these patients with non-COVID conditions do not get treated in government settings, because they are exclusively treating COVID patients at this point of time. So we try not to deny treatment to them, because some of them with chronic condition may become acute. And right now we are managing well, but it is our fear that we might start hampering that treatment should the COVID condition becomes worse. And that patients will not have any place to go. They can neither go to government and neither they could go to private. So we are trying to strike a balance to help even the non-COVID patients. We are also taking over some of the non-COVID patients from the government hospitals. Hospital Kuala Lumpur has started decanting over the weekend, and the government pays for treatment so that we can ease space for the patients in HKL for patients. So we are doing that in addition to everything else that we have been doing the last couple of months.
Dr. Koljit, we just have about a minute left. What else needs to be done to address this issue?
I think the most important thing is what we have seen in other countries is ramping up the vaccination. Vaccination seems to be the best way to bring the numbers down before we get hit largely with variants, which is our biggest fear right now. We need to target groups of people who cannot work from home, and their nature of business is that they need to be at the ground to work. I think we need to change our strategy and concentrate on these groups of people and vaccinate them quickly. And especially in Klang Valley, we need to vaccinate them at a faster rate, because if we don't do this, we don't see how this issue can be settled. in Europe, in the United States, and also in Malaysia, those who get infected category 4 and 5 in ICUs are all those who never got themselves vaccinated. That is a fact that we have seen. So with the vaccine, if those who are vaccinated, the number of patients getting into category 4 and 5 is very, very minimal.
Dr. Kuljit, thank you for being with us today.
You're most welcome.
That was Datuk Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals of Malaysia, speaking to us about how the private healthcare sector can contribute to this issue of overcapacity in our hospitals. So keep those thoughts coming. Are you worried about the situation? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we look at where else we might be able to find resources for this. So keep it here on Inside Story. BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:52. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been spending this hour talking about the issue of overcapacity. Essentially, our hospitals are, our COVID-19 hospitals are on the brink of collapse because of a lack of space, of resources, of manpower. Really, it's not a great situation. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. Keep sending them our way. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And now joining us to speak about the issue of other places that we could be looking at for resources, we have Dr. Jaykumar Devraj, chairperson of Party Socialist Malaysia. He's also a representative of the People's Health Forum. Dr. Jaykumar, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So you've called for greater mobilization of resources to handle this influx of COVID patients. What are the resources that we need most urgently?
I think we need to free up hospital beds. You know, so one of the things that we ask for is that some of the patients who are category 4, who need oxygen, but yet not yet critical, they can be sent by ambulance to other hospitals in states which are not so badly affected, maybe to neighboring states, Perak, Pahang, Malacca, you know. So we can free up some of the beds in KL itself, you see. So that is one thing. We disperse the patients out and we treat them in those hospitals. So that is one thing. The other thing is we bring in resources. You know, states like Kedah, Kelantan, you know, maybe, I'm not sure which other states, Terengganu, where the epidemic is not so high. Bring in medical staff, you know, doctors, nurses, ICU staff. Bring them down to provide some relief for the staff in the Klang Valley. So these are some of the things we can do, you see. We can also maybe move ventilators within the country from states which are not so badly off. We can borrow ventilators from, say, Singapore, maybe China. Because we need to have these kind of facilities. Otherwise, those who we can otherwise save will slip through our fingers because we couldn't get them the treatment they needed in time.
And I also wanted to touch on, besides hospitals, for example, whether there might be more avenues to rope in other private entities. For example, we've seen Klang MP Charles Santiago suggesting the use of budget hotels being close to hospitals.
Yeah, you could use them for the stage 2 and 3 patients, you know. But once you come to stage 4, you need to have them in hospital because you need closer monitoring, you know. Actually, now it's a stage 4 cases that we have a problem with. They can't put them in budget hospitals. They're too ill, you know. They need oxygen around the clock. They need monitoring. Many of them will need steroids. In fact, almost all of them will need steroids. They'll probably need anticoagulants to make the blood less coagulable, you know, to prevent the clots. So you they're quite ill patients, you know, and I think you can't manage them in budget hospital.
Now, looking at the issue of monitoring the at-home patients, what are the current challenges and how can this process be improved?
I think the challenges are, the thing is in COVID, you got to spot the window of opportunity for action, you know. I mean, most patients, 80% of patients get better on their own. About 20% of the patients have an overreaction of the immune system. And that usually kicks in about 1 week into the clinical illness, 1 week after this having symptoms. A week later, that's when the immune system kicks in for the 20%. And that causes further damage of tissues. It also causes clotting in small arteries and veins, and that causes further damage. So you got to, if you can recognize that starting, you can kind of nip it in the bud by giving steroids, you know, dampen down the excess immune reaction. You can give anticoagulants to prevent clots from forming, and you can kind of avert disaster in a way, you know. But if you miss that by 3 days, 4 days, until they really actually get lung damage, they get breathless and all that, then you're further down the slope, you know. It's more difficult to come back up longer. So it's a question of timely treatment, you know, that give this kind of intervention at the right time. And when they're at home and they're initially getting the lung damage, they may not realize it, you know. They may not realize it. So there's a danger of missing these people until they are further down the slope, you know, and it's more difficult to get them out of it at that point.
I wanted to take a step back and ask, how does this issue of overcapacity affect patients and their families, especially among those in the lower income community?
I think it affects everyone, not only low income, you know. I mean, ultimately, you die. I mean, if you don't get the proper treatment, if you don't catch you at the correct time, give you the correct treatment, the risk of dying goes up. You know, so I think it's serious, a life and death matter. I mean, like today, for example, we had altogether more than 4,000 new cases diagnosed in Selangor and about 1,000 more cases in KL. Huh? So together, there's about 5,600 cases today. About 20% of them, at least about 1,100 of them, will go into stage 4, category 4 of COVID in about 1 week to 10 days' time. And they'll need admission, they'll need steroids, they'll need oxygen. If we don't get it to them on time, a larger number of them will die. Yeah, so this is I think it's a serious problem. I mean, already today, the healthcare services are over 100%. It's over 100%. Whether it's acute care wards or whether it's the ICU beds, it's over 100%. And the numbers are going to come in every day. You know, like today, for example, is 5,600. In about 10 days' time, about 1,000 plus patients will require admission because they're stage, right? Category 4. You know, and so it's going to go on like this until we bring the daily numbers down. 10 days later, then our ICU admissions will go down. You know what I mean? It won't be immediate. But you got to, you know, last these next 10 days, 2-3 weeks, you know, this is crucial. So we need to mobilize more resources and do it. Otherwise, our case fatality is going to go up. This is a health emergency.
Dr. Jayakumar, thank you for speaking with us today.
You're welcome. Bye.
That was Dr. Jayakumar Devraj, chairperson of Parti Socialist Malaysia and the representative of the People's Health Forum. And we've been spending this hour talking about our hospitals being over capacity and really needing a lot more help in managing their COVID-19 patients. So keep those thoughts coming. Are you worried about this? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.